All right, it is time for the scoop. Mason in Ireland. I'm in Arlington. John's in L.A., and we're getting ready for Game 2 of the World Series. Meanwhile, there's a bunch of other stuff going on. John. Jorge, I hope you've got this hot mic moment for Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. Do you have that sound? They were doing a game this week, and there was a military flyover.
I know Aikman, what they said, if you just want to do it without the sound.
And Aikman appears to have mocked the flyover.
Do a little flyover. That's your hard-earned money and your tax dollars at work.
That stuff ain't happening with Kamala Biden ticket. I'll tell you that right now, partner.
All right, so Troy Aikman got criticism from all over, including from the Navy SEAL who actually shot Osama bin Laden. Here is how Aikman responded. Quote, I love a flyover, but it was odd to see one over a mostly empty stadium. But I am an unwavering patriot that loves this country, has always respected our flag, supported the men and women in the armed forces, as well as those in uniform who serve and protect. And for anyone to suggest otherwise doesn't know me, my beliefs, or what I have stood for my entire life. How does Aikman come off in this whole story? And do you like military flyovers?
I do like military flyovers, but to go back to your first point, I don't know what the purpose of them is if there's no fans in the stadium. If there's no fans in the stadium, who are you doing the flyover for? Now, I'm trying to remember, were there any fans allowed? They were doing the Buffalo-Kansas City game in Buffalo, right?
Yeah, I don't know the status of Buffalo, whether there were fans
I know there were
there
fans in Kansas City, but I can't remember if there were fans of Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, there was a flyover last night, John. Did they show it on TV?
No, I didn't see it, but I tuned on the game. I was up at Terranea when that happened, and I turned on the game late. It's more for the people in the stadium. And I've always liked Troy Aikman. I think that he strikes me as kind of a stand-up guy. I don't think that he comes off necessarily all that bad here. It's not like what Tom Brenneman said. I'm sure they wish the mics weren't on, but I don't think this sticks to Troy. Do you?
I do not. I like Troy Aikman. He's my second favorite NFL analyst. And I don't know that he doesn't have, with all due respect, I'm not sure if we should be having flyovers over empty stadiums.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, I think that does make sense. It puts potentially, I guess, people at risk, but also costs a lot of money. So I do understand that. I think what bothers Aikman, too, is that he accidentally revealed who he's voting for. Which I'm sure is not making it, I'm sure is part of the why Aikman is so upset, since he said this stuff ain't happening with a particular ticket.
Right now.
So I think he revealed his vote. I think he's upset about that. I have no issue with Troy Aikman going forward. I think he actually raised in an indelicate way an interesting point about flyovers at empty stadiums. So Troy Aikman, none of this sticks to him. He's still my second favorite analyst.
Okay, speaking of your second favorite analyst, I have an announcer question.
Okay.
Doc Emmerich, whose real name is Mike, has announced his retirement at age 74. He's called 22 Stanley Cup finals, did play-by-play for hockey at 6 Olympic Games. He moved full-time to NBC in 2011, becoming their main play-by-play man for NHL games. There is no question that Emmerich is the best hockey play-by-play guy working today. I'm a little biased for Bob Miller if we go all time, but if you take all the guys that worked this past season, nobody compares to Doc. He's the best. So it got me to thinking, who is the best play-by-play guy working in the other three major sports right now? NFL, NBA, MLB. If you had a huge Game 7 and you got to pick the announcers, who are you going with?
Huge Game 7.
Or in the NFL, it's the Super Bowl.
Okay. I would choose...
I'll give you mine if it'll help you.
Give me yours.
Okay. NFL, if it's a gigantic game, I'm going Al Michaels. I don't think there's anything like Al, working today. I mean, you hear his voice, it is a gigantic game. NBA, I'm going Mike Breen, who I know that there are other guys like, Marv Albert and Brian Anderson that do the games for TNT. But for me, Mike Breen yelling bang at a big NBA game
bang.
Is it. And for MLB, you might not like this. I'm going Joe Buck. I think Joe Buck is great calling big baseball games. And if I had a huge game seven, I'm going with Joe Buck. So for me, it's Michaels, Breen, Buck. Do you disagree with any of those?
Yeah, I do, actually. I agree with Mike Breen for NBA. My baseball choice, and he's not doing the games now, but was doing the games on radio leading up to and does a lot of games on TV. I love Boog Shambi. I think Boog Shambi is fantastic.
He has a great natural energy about him, which is hard to duplicate. Yeah.
And Joe Davis, by the way, is a very close second.
Yeah,
he's very good.
I was going to say, if he was a horse race, he's that horse that's speeding out of the back.
Yeah. And then NFL... I'm not as big an Al Michaels fan. Who works with, you know what? I'm going to go with Joe Buck for NFL.
Yeah, he's number one at Fox. Jim Nantz is number one at CBS. Al's number one at ABC, and I guess you'd have to say, or at NBC, and I guess you have to say number one at ESPN now would be Steve Levy, who's doing the Monday night games.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you could give it to Chris Fowler.
By the way, can I tell a Doc Emmerich story?
Sure.
One of the nicest people that I have ever worked
with. That's right. You worked Olympics
ever.
With him. Yeah.
Anywhere. I did the Olympics multiple times with Doc. And there's a famous story. Doc was scheduled to do the Olympic hockey. And Doc and his wife don't have kids. And so their dogs, like me, their dogs are like kids, right? And they had a dog that they both, a beloved dog, who died right before the Olympics. And Doc called NBC and said, I'm so sorry, I can't come to the Olympics to do the games because my dog died and I can't leave my wife. And NBC laughed at him. And it's like, I can't believe over a dog dying, you're going to not do the Olympics.
They threatened to fire him.
And they also released the story. The story got out there, and it bounced exactly the wrong way. People looked at Doc Emmerich and said, boy, that's a good guy. His dog passed away. His wife needs him right now. Good for him for doing the right thing. So it bounced against NBC and towards Doc Emmerich. Doc is just a sweetheart of a guy. Love the guy.
All right, so somewhere,
he's fantastic.
May, somewhere on the internet, you can find this. Somebody broke down, taped an entire Doc Emmerich hockey game.
Okay.
And he came up with more than 60 different words, 60, to describe a pass in hockey. Like,
wow.
You know, Kopitar pokes it to Doughty, gets it to Doughty, runs it over to Doughty, slides it to Doughty. Like 60 different ways of describing
wow.
That is a pro, man.
Yeah, and, he is a pro. Yeah,
he will be missed. Okay, it's you.
Last week, Odell Beckham Jr. tested negative for COVID. He played in Cleveland's loss at Pittsburgh. After Sunday's loss, OBJ was asked about whether or not he was afraid that he had the coronavirus. And he said this, quote, I don't think COVID can get to me. I don't think it's going to enter my body. I don't want no part of it, and it don't want no part of me. I think it's mutual respect. What do you think of OBJ's attitude?
Doesn't surprise me. I think jokes about COVID aren't funny because someone will hear it that has lost someone to COVID or is dealing with someone to COVID. So I try and not tell any COVID jokes. I think it's just it's kind of a third rail because it is affecting so many different people in so many different ways. I had dinner with a friend of mine the other night whose son is a college age kid who caught COVID and was asymptomatic the whole time, never got sick at all. Other people that have caught COVID have died. So
yeah.
you got to, if you start saying like COVID don't want no part of me, a lot of people can't control what COVID does to them. I would personally stay away from it, but OBJ is a really high paid, fast receiver and it's probably not going to stick to him. What do you think?
I think, first of all, I think it demonstrates a pretty cavalier attitude towards COVID that I don't think Odell Beckham Jr. should be spreading. I mean, I think still kids look at NFL players and say, hey, I want to be like that guy. Beckham is a star. So it's a cavalier attitude about COVID. But here, let me tell you a story. So my dad, when I was growing up, would always use the expression mind over matter, mind over matter.
Right.
And so when the whole house would go down with the flu, and me and my brothers and my mom, we would all get the flu. My dad would walk around and say, I am not getting this flu. I am not getting this flu. And you know what? He never got the flu. I think there is a certain mindset that you can get into that boosts your immune system and helps you to fight off anything that might come along. So at the root of it, I mean, I say in my head on this trip, I am not getting COVID. I am not getting COVID. To me, that's part of the reason why I will come back without COVID. It's that it's a mind, it's a frame of mind, and it's in my head, and I think it actually has power. So I do understand what Odell Beckham Jr. is saying. I just think it's a really cavalier attitude about COVID.
All right, so that's interesting because there've been times where I've been a little bit sick, and I have a Laker game that night, and I always treat it as okay. This is a test of. Can you do a game when you do when you feel lousy, when you can't do anything?
Right.
In 9 years, I've missed two games. It's when Jack, my son, had his seizure, and it just was unexpected, and I couldn't leave.
Yeah.
But the your dad was onto something. You can say like anytime, like I'll say on days where I'm feeling really sick or I can't, and I'm supposed to be someplace. I'll say to myself, "What if this was the one day I could play Augusta?" If somebody had set me up to play at the Masters, would I call in sick then? And so I always work my way through
right.
it. So you can mentally work through it, but it's not easy to do. Okay, it's me, right? Here's a weird question. Pretend you're Kevin Cash, the manager of the Tampa Bay Rays. I give you the ability to take one and only one Dodger player out for the rest of the World Series. One caveat, it cannot be Mookie Betts, because we would all say Mookie Betts. So Mookie Betts stays. But you get to
take... Yeah, we would all say Mookie.
We get to take any other player off the board if we're Kevin Cash. It can be Bellinger, Seager, Will Smith, Kershaw, Bueller, anybody. But Cash gets to pick the guy. Who do you think Cash would pick?
I think that he would pick... Bellinger, just because he's hot. Get the hot guy out of the lineup. You know, if I was to say a second one, it might be Kershaw.
I was going to say Kershaw.
I don't want to see Kershaw in game five.
Right. If you take Kershaw out.
Yeah, I don't want to see Kershaw in game five.
Doesn't Tampa have a clear pitching advantage at that point if Kershaw comes off the board?
Well, they've got a clear – I would argue, and I got a lot of grief on this from Twitter, but I would argue that Tampa is in a better situation in terms of rotation than we are. I mean, they're throwing a former Cy Young Award winner tonight. They're throwing a guy who has World Series experience, Charlie Morton, in game three on Friday. So they've got an advantage, I think, in terms of starting pitching, and they would have a much bigger advantage if there was no Kershaw. So maybe you're right. Kevin Cash might take Kershaw off the board, especially after the way he threw last night. But Bellinger is hot. He's just getting started in this series. I think he's going to have a monster series. And by the way, he made a great catch last night.
Right. And dropped one. You know.
Great defense is contagious.
Well, are you talking about Bellinger's catch?
Yeah, Bellinger's catch.
Well, yeah, and he dropped one that he normally catches. You know, they said he was worried about his shoulder, and he ran all the
yes,
way back there and dropped one. But I think tonight's game is going to be an absolute shootout. This is so important to the Rays.
Wait a minute. You say shootout, but you thought it was going to be a low-scoring game.
Right. Well, I shouldn't use that word. I think it's just going to be a battle. I think it's going to be a long back and forth.
Yeah.
I think a lot of pitchers might get used. I don't think the score is going to be high. I'm saying Dodgers 4, Rays 3, but I picked the Dodgers in 5. I wouldn't be shocked if this is the game Tampa wins, if I'm right, because I think they've got their best pitcher going, and the Dodgers are throwing a bullpen game, and they know a 2-0 hole against this Dodger team would be huge. So I think tonight's going to be really fun to watch.
Yeah, I think it's going to be I think it's going to be a lower scoring game, but I still think the Dodgers are going to put 5 on the board. I still the way they've raked against left-handed pitching and the way Snell's been pitching, which isn't necessarily great. He was upset. He got pulled from his last start in the 5th inning while he was throwing a shutout. But he had loaded up the bases, and that's why Cash pulled him. He's not been unbeatable in this postseason. I'm more concerned. I think the game that the Rays win is game 3 on Friday. I think that's the game that they win because of Charlie Morton, who's been so good this postseason.
Although the Dodgers,
but I think tonight is a game. I think the Dodgers. Yeah, Dodgers have Bueller going. But, you know, the thing is, you can only count on Bueller now for four, maybe five. So you're tapping into your pen with Bueller. I mean, I'm hoping that guy stretches out a little bit. I'd love to see him get six innings. But I'm guessing probably four or five for Bueller, and then you hit the pen. So if in case you're just tuning in, the Dodgers are going to start Tony Gonsolin tonight, who is known, John, as Catman. Did you know that?
I did know that. I try not to hold it against him.
It is really hard. He apparently was on MLB Network. Lindsay says, Lindsay, he was on MLB Network showing his little cat charms.
No. Kevin Millar asked him.
Maybe we don't have.
Are you all like settled in and everything, you know, moved into the hotel since you're going to be here for a while? And he's like, yeah, I did all my unpacking. I got, you know, all my cat sweaters and all my cat memorabilia and my little cat trinkets.
Oh, God.
All up on the dress on the dresser and made myself feel like home.
Oh, God, that is so weird. I just don't understand the purpose of cats. I know lots of you guys have cats, and I know lots of you love them, and I'm happy for you that you've found this perfect relationship. But to me, what I need, John, more than anything in my life is affirmation. And that's one of the things my dogs give me every time I walk in the door. I could have a terrible show, and I walk in, and there are my dogs, and it's like they didn't listen to the show. They don't care. It's like I've been gone forever, and they're jumping all over me. My impression of cats is that when you walk in the door with a cat in the house, the cat basically says, oh, it's you. That's it.
Sometimes
you'll
not
get
even
affirmation
that.
From a cat.
Yep. Sometimes you don't even.
It's
get
like,
that.
Yeah. Oh, it's you. It's you again. Yeah, I don't understand the cat thing. It's a good bit. Catman tonight for the Dodgers. But, yeah, don't understand cat people. Don't understand. Do you know any cat people?
Not really. Yeah,
My roommate is the epitome.
Yeah, I don't either.
Really? Dogs are the greatest.
My roommate baby talks my cat.
Dogs are unbelievable.
You would never believe. It's hilarious.
Yeah, that's especially annoying.
John, do you baby talk? Do you baby talk Reagan, your dog?
No. I talk to Reagan.
Not at all.
I talk to Reagan like she's a person. It's pretty. It's actually weird.
Get out of here.
I do.
You don't go, hey buddy, how you doing, bud?
No,
hey buddy.
I'll say, hey crazy Reagan, what are you doing? And
okay, so yeah. You're talking. That's good. Yeah. That's good. All right, so we haven't talked to the callers yet today, John.
Amen.
And I think we should. It's the World Series, and we should give people a chance to speak. You know how I feel about calls, John. Yes. I love the calling people.
You hate them, but that's okay.
Huge fan.
You aren't here, so we've pulled a coup, and we're taking calls. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776.
And let's pinpoint this a little bit. What do you think? First of all, what do you think of the game? But also, what do you think of Dave Roberts' decision to pull Clayton Kershaw after the sixth inning last night when he was throwing so well? Some people thought it was a mistake on Twitter. Some people think it was the right idea.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What do you think? 877-710-ESPN. All right.
2-2. Swing and a miss. And Zunino down on strikes. The side is retired. That's eight now for Kershaw.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. What's going on, by the way? Of his eight strikeouts, seven of them came on the slider last night. I'm Steve Mason. I'm in Arlington, Texas, getting ready for game two of the World Series. John is going to be manning the official ESPN LA Twitter account. So watch for his tweets last night tonight at ESPN Los Angeles. I'm tweeting the game at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, and we have got your complete World Series coverage right here. John, here's a nugget. Last night was the sixth game in the playoffs where Tampa Bay had a batting average under 200 with at least 10 strikeouts.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about with how they got to get something going tonight because they've got Blake Snell on the mound and that the Dodgers are pitching a bullpen game. But if Gonsolin pitches well, boy, they could put this whole series in a headlock. But I'm convinced, Mace, they're winning it. I think the Dodgers are winning the World Series. If you look at the bets, affects the game in so many different ways. You can pitch Kershaw at least twice. They don't have an easy out in their lineup. I think Tampa Bay is the one team that actually doesn't match up with them at all. The Yankees or the Astros could have slugged with them. I don't think Tampa Bay can do that. And if Rosarena doesn't get hot, I don't see how the Rays can score with him, which is what makes tonight's game so interesting, because I think that tonight Tampa has a chance to keep the score down and maybe win a game. But let's see.
Do you think if they win the World Series that the haters of Dave Roberts will go away?
Most, yeah. But, I mean, let's look at that as, you know, let's take that at face value. There are people right now that want Dave Roberts fired if the Dodgers don't win the World Series. You realize you would be firing a guy who made it to three World Series in 4 years.
Yep.
I mean, that's all you're trying to do in baseball is get to the World Series. The fact that he didn't win it is almost immaterial if you're getting to it that often. But I know people feel like you got up. You know, you got to win it. It's, you know, blah, 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 blah. Let's see what the people think. Here's Greg in Santa Clarita. Hey, Greg, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Good topic. You know, throughout his career, Clayton Kershaw has seemed to just pitch against low bottom teams. I mean, you got the Rockies, you got the Diamondbacks, you got the Giants and the Padres. And so his competition level hasn't been that tough. And when he goes to that next level, say against the St. Louis Cardinals and whatnot, you know, he's facing a different fierce of a franchise that knows how to win. And so that win last night, even though it's up there, I'm still, you know, really not convinced on how really great Kershaw is. I mean,
Greg, let's address that in a couple of ways. Number one, in the regular season, you pitch against everybody, okay? It's not like the playoffs where you have one opponent. Kershaw is the greatest regular season pitcher in the history of the Dodgers. He's got a better regular season mark than Koufax did, than Valenzuela did. He's unbelievable. It's the postseason that's the hole in his resume. And he can't control who they play in the postseason. In the regular season, you're going to play every other team. That's just the way the schedule works. But in the postseason, you got to play who gets, you know, who advances through the bracket. So the fact that he won game one of the World Series against Tampa should mean something, because he can't control who the opponent is. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I know what you're saying. I'm just saying, when you look at history for me, and you look at Koufax and the type of teams. I mean, look how many teams there are now.
Right.
There's 30 teams compared. So the top-of-the-line players, you know, aren't running to baseball anymore. They're going to basketball, lacrosse, soccer, da-da-da.
True.
That great competition of players have gone away.
Right.
So in other words, you're not trusting your eyes. You're not trusting what you saw last night from Kershaw.
Oh, what he pulled off in the second inning was great for him. I'm so happy for him. I'm happy that Dave Roberts is finally getting the ball bouncing his way with all the criticism that they've taken. The ball is finally, you know, over time, eventually the cream rises to the top, and Dave Roberts is a great communicator. He's a great coach, and he's a leader. He takes the punches for the team, and you don't hear the media talk about how many punches he takes for people. He backs up his players, and all those Dodger fans who want to fire him, you know, they don't know what they got. They really don't.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Greg, for the phone call.
Good call. Thank you, Greg.
Let's go to Odom in Encino. Hey, Odom, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, Odom.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you? I just want to say the Dodgers are looking good. They're serious. And the Lakers are going to win the championship.
Well, you're a little late. The Lakers did win their championship.
Yeah.
That guy has not heard the news yet.
That guy is an example of why you don't take calls. Yeah, of why I always lose the argument with you about why we should take more calls. You will pull out a call like that, and I have
He is really excited about the Lakers and their chance to win the championship.
So let's go to John in Mira Loma. Hey,
save us, John.
John, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
John.
John going once.
Nope. John, no, John.
Hello. There you are.
Hey,
there
John.
There you are. Hey, this is what I saw last night. I saw a team that lost two World Series a few years ago. Their relative, the whole team is still intact and here now with the addition of Betts. They're not going to lose this series. Remember, guys, when we saw the Dodgers in the 70s lose the World Series in the 70s, finally, with the majority of the team intact, they make it in 81. They weren't going to go away. They were going to win that one. And I get the same feeling with this team after what I saw last night. And Kershaw, his slider was phenomenal last night.
Yeah.
I mean, he pitched a great game. I mean, they took him out of the game. It's fine, but he pitched great. And you know what? I don't think he's going to let this one be denied from him this time.
I agree.
Awesome,
with that.
Man.
I think, thanks for the call. I think the Dodgers are winning the World Series. I know people won't believe it until it actually happens, but if you look at this series on paper, the one thing the Rays might have better than the Dodgers is bullpen. Every other category goes to LA.
See, you know what's weird, John? I also give them starting rotation. Don't you have to give them starting rotation?
Right, so in a 7-game series, you need 3.5 starters. If you could bring a guy back in short rest. So you're saying you'd rather have Snell, Glasnow, and who's been their best pitcher this year?
Charlie Morton.
Morton, who's going to pitch game 3. All right, so you get those three would go up against Kershaw, Buehler, and probably Urias. I think it's a wash.
Well, Kershaw bullpen game, then Buehler, then Urias.
Yeah. I think it's a wash.
So because the Dodgers rotation isn't set up the way the Rays rotation is set up, I think this gives them a slight advantage. Not a gigantic advantage, but they know who's pitching games 1, 2, and 3, and they're not going to a bullpen game in the early part of the series. Just for that reason, I give them a slight edge. Bullpen, I give Tampa a slight edge. Offense, I give the Dodgers, you know, twice the edge, triple the edge. I mean,
defense, they're even.
Defense is a wash, and the intangible here is experience. The Dodgers, most of them have been to the World Series at least once. Only one player on the Rays has been to the World Series. Do you know who it is?
Charlie Morton.
That's the only guy that has ever played in the World Series from this Tampa Bay team. So I think
lying,
the experience is huge.
Cheating, trash can, banging Astros.
Another reason to hate Charlie Morton in Game 3. That's right. He was in on the whole thing.
All right, so what'll be interesting too tonight is to see how many innings they get out of Gonsolin.
Yeah,
I think they're hoping.
I'm guessing
four
two,
or five.
By the way.
Me too. I think that they're only getting a couple. We'll see.
We're gonna play a cat sound every time we do Tony Gonsolin.
Yeah,
Catman.
Yeah, it's just annoying.
Catman's going tonight. Catman. All right, coming up next. John, I'm going to do something weird. Have you heard about the least popular Chris, the worst Chris bit?
I don't think so.
Somebody put out a picture yesterday of Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth, Chris Pine, and Chris Pratt. And Pratt was voted the least favorite of the Chrises.
I like Chris Pratt.
I do too. I like Chris Pratt. But on that list, who's the worst Chris?
I like Chris Pine.
Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth, Chris,
I like Chris
Pine,
Evans. I like all
Chris
them.
Pratt.
Why does there have to
be
the worst?
Yeah, I know, but pick one that's the worst.
I was going to pick Hemsworth, but he's not even the one that was married to Miley Cyrus, right? That was his brother.
Yeah, that was the brother.
For me, Evans is kind of the one that comes off a little bit cocky, but I think he's acting. I think that's in movies. I think Chris Pratt's funny.
I think Chris Pratt's great. I love him in Guardians of the Galaxy. He's fantastic. But you know what I did? I created four Johns and four Steves.
Oh, good. All right, Cal, we're anxious to hear these.
Okay, and I will put those out there on Twitter, and I'll tell you exactly who you can vote on for worst John and worst Steve. That's coming up next for you. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. I'm in Arlington, Texas, getting ready for game two of the World Series tonight. We will hear that game. You will hear that game right here on 710 ESPN coming up at 5 o'clock. Dan Schulman on the call along with Chris Singleton and Jess Mendoza. Listened to their broadcast last night. Fantastic. So you can hear it here. The home of the playoffs is right here on 710 ESPN. John, yesterday, this was the big buzz on Twitter. Who is the worst Chris? And it was four pictures. It was Chris Pratt, Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth, and Chris Pine. And Chris Pratt was voted as the worst Chris.
Yeah, I don't get that. I like Chris Pratt.
Well, you got to pick one, though. You got to pick one. So I put out...
I believe in America, so give me Chris Hemsworth. He's okay. The one non-American in the group.
So I put out one for you. Who is the worst John?
Okay, who are the four?
Okay. The four are John F. Kennedy... John Wayne.
Two dead guys.
John Mayer and John Ireland.
Okay. So let me tell you right out of the gate, there's no way I'm beating John Mayer.
I think you're beating John Mayer. I think that's the worst John.
No. John Mayer, everybody likes John Mayer, especially girls. But the question is.
Wait. You're totally wrong about that.
What are you talking about? John Mayer has gone through a run of actresses in Hollywood, second to none.
Yeah, like 5 to 7 years ago, but then especially after what Jessica Simpson said about him in her book that she recently wrote.
What'd she say?
Let's just say she didn't have very nice things to say about him.
Can I just say,
bedroom.
Who reads Jessica Simpson's book?
I didn't read her book, but I remember when it came out and she did all kinds of media tours. That was one of the main things that people were talking about was how much she just didn't have very nice things to say about him, especially in the bedroom. He said some weird, gross things about her and too.
Okay,
her and,
so so they were throwing.
And he seems really douchey. So that's just
okay. Well, maybe I have a shot.
You know who's losing in the early going is John Wayne, and I think it's all that stuff, that Playboy magazine interview and the naming of the airport thing. He's coming up as the worst John of the four Johns.
I got to tell you, if I come in anywhere but fourth, I'll be elated. Those are three pretty high-profile Johns.
Yeah, you just don't want to be the first. Okay, now here are the worst Steves. Here are the nominees.
All right, go for it.
Okay. Steve Martin.
Okay.
Steve Carell.
Well, everybody likes both of those guys.
Steve Ballmer and Steve Mason.
Okay, so to me, this is a two-horse race.
Yeah.
Steve Martin,
and Ballmer.
Yeah. Steve Martin and Steve Carell are both great. They slide. Yep. They slide into the next round, which means it's either you or Ballmer for the worst Steve. And for me, since I am a shameless, unapologetic Lakers fan, and you root for the Lakers and he owns the Clippers, you skate by and take third, and Steve Ballmer is the worst Steve. That's how I read it.
Steve Ballmer is coming up as the worst. He said, here's Eric Ruiz. He says, easy, Ballmer. The other three make me laugh.
Right.
Ballmer, definitely not Mason.
Anyway, Steve Ballmer said something today that makes me think. I've always thought he's a good, aggressive owner. He's got you know, super deep pockets.
$20 billion.
Right. He's at a lot of the games. He's engaged. I know he was just trying to be supportive, but after he said this, it made me think, well, maybe he doesn't get it.
Okay.
He hired Ty Lue, and he says, I think Ty Lue is the best coach in the NBA. And I thought, okay. So Greg Popovich has won 5 titles.
Right.
Ty Lue was sitting on the bench when you guys just got swept out in the second round. I have nothing against Ty Lue. I think Ty Lue's a great guy. I think he'd be just inside my top 10.
He's not the best coach in the NBA. Now, I think that's what you say when you're hiring a guy, right? Although I think you generally say that's the best guy for the job, not that's the best coach in the world.
There's seven or eight guys I'd put, I would take. Like, let's say you could pick any coach in the NBA. By the time you get to Ty Lue, aren't you dead? Like, you're going through Spoelstra. I'd rather have Doc Rivers than Ty Lue.
After what happened, you'd rather have Doc Rivers than Ty Lue?
I would. Yeah.
I don't think Doc brought this group together. I don't think he brought them together, and I think that's why they crashed in the bubble. I think they were all over the place. There was no cohesiveness. There was none of that stuff, that connectedness the Lakers have.
Wouldn't you rather have Rick Carlisle than Ty Lue?
Yeah, I'd rather have Rick Carlisle. I mean, I'm not disputing your point, which is I don't believe Ty Lue is the greatest coach on the planet. He's not the greatest basketball coach on the planet, is what Steve Ballmer said, best coach in the league.
Right.
I think he's really good, and I assume that Kawhi Leonard built a good relationship with Ty Lue, or he wouldn't be the head coach now, right?
Right, and I think the players wanted him, and it's a players' league. So I think that,
and I think, you know, everything I've read, John, is that Doc was too deferential to Kawhi and to a lesser degree, Paul George, that there was special treatment for those guys and it alienated the other guys on that team. Is that your sense?
Well, and Ty Lue's going to have to get to the bottom of that. He's going to have to find out why that team broke under pressure and fix it. But he was there, so maybe he knows and maybe he can fix it. I like Ty. He played for the Lakers. He seems like a great guy. But I don't agree with Steve Ballmer that he's the best coach in the NBA.
No, he's not, Steve. He's not. I think Ballmer's really smart. I think he's really rich. I think that's a really dumb statement. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Lindsay's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us, and then back to the World Series at the top of the hour. We're going to continue to get you ready for Game 2 of the World Series. I'm in Arlington, Texas. John is back in L.A. This is the home of baseball playoffs this year. We've got the Dodgers and Rays coming up for you at 5 o'clock. Mesa in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. What's going on? Getting ready for World Series game number 2. It's Tony Gonsolin in a bullpen game for the Dodgers versus Blake Snell, former Cy Young Award winner. And we've got that game for you coming up at 5. It's time for Radio Tinder. By the way, you know what's weird about Texas, John? You know what's a big adjustment for me? No Burayesca.
Really?
Not legal in the state of Texas.
And you didn't bring any with you?
No, God, no. I never travel with it. I never feel secure about that. I would never travel with it. All right. Lindsay, what do you got?
It may not be legal, but tell that to Joe Rogan. All right.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah, Joe. Yeah.
Antonio Brown's 8-game suspension will come to an end after week 8, and according to Adam Schefter, the Seahawks are positioned to make a push to sign him. Schefter also said that many other teams are interested in the 7-time Pro Bowler as well. Now, you guys remember the NFL suspended Brown for multiple violations of the league's personal conduct policy back in July. Would you want Antonio Brown on your team? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right. I know he's got a lot of personal demons, but, like, for example, up in Seattle, they have DK Metcalf, who is really, really good. And if you put Antonio Brown on the other side, Russell Wilson's such a good quarterback, Mace, that it's going to create problems for people. He can help them. If I'm a Seahawks fan, I want him.
I want absolutely no part of him. If I'm a Rams fan, I want absolutely no part of him. I wouldn't sign him if I was a general manager. You said he's got demons. I don't want those demons inside my locker room and on the sidelines. I just think it is bound to fail, just like it did in New England. I hope Antonio Brown does get a job. I hope he's successful, but he would not be part of my team, that's for sure.
Lindsay, would you take him?
I would not, especially on the Browns, because I think they've got enough personalities in that locker room.
Can you imagine Antonio Brown and OBJ on the same team? Yeah.
Bring it on, Cleveland. Let's go.
Yeah, they've had a hard enough time with those problem children in the past, so I think they should just leave things as is.
Yes.
All right, next one here. A woman decided to test her blind date's generosity by inviting 23 of her relatives along on their first date to see if he'd pick up the bill for dinner. Apparently, the woman wanted to test the guy after he offered to pay for dinner ahead of time. I think this whole thing sounds completely ridiculous, but if this were your blind date, who happened to be extremely attractive, would you just chalk it up and pay the bill? Swipe left or swipe right?
Well, until you said happened to be extremely attractive, I was kind of a hard no. But most guys, if you look back on dumb decisions they've made in their life, it's to chase attractive women. So, Mace, I have a feeling, depending on how expensive the dinner was, I might bite the bullet. If she was, as Lindsay put it, extremely attractive, she can get away with a lot more. So I think I might do it.
Yeah, I would split. I'd split the check. I'm big on that.
But what if she put you on the spot and was just like, so you said you're going to pay for dinner. Are you going to pay for it?
Well, did he say he was going to pay for dinner?
He did ahead of time. He didn't. Obviously, she didn't tell him that they were going to have 23 relatives there. But the agreement as far as the date went was he offered to pay for dinner ahead of time. Said, yeah.
I would absolutely not, under any circumstance, regardless of what that person looks like, pay for a dinner for 25 people. There's absolutely no friggin' way. I'm not a pick up the check for 25 people guy. So, no, I'm sorry. Let's go ahead and go through each item and see who ate and drank what, and we'll add it all up. I'm that guy. I'm the guy says, wait a minute here. You had the fish, okay, and you had three drinks. You only had one drink. I'm that guy. I'm a pain in the ass guy in a group.
And then your really hot date would be like, yeah, we're not going out again.
You don't bring 23 people to dinner. That's a character flaw. Who does that?
Yeah, but
there's something wrong with her.
Yeah, but she's extremely attractive, so she's going to get away with stuff. Don't you ever watch Vanderpump Rules? Come on.
Yep. I don't. Yep. I don't. I've been to the restaurants, but I don't. I hear secondhand what happens on Vanderpump Rules. But no, there's no way I'm picking up a check for 25 people.
All right, Lindsay, I'll pick up the check. How attractive is she? I'll pick up the check.
Like a 9 out of 10. Yeah, there you go. All right, next one here. Miley Cyrus is a master of covering songs. My personal favorite is Jolene by Dolly Parton. It's a good jam. She recently announced a new project that she's working on, a Metallica cover album. She already covered the band's Nothing Else Matters, which she naturally killed it. Well,
that's Jolene, right?
That's Jolene.
That's Jolene.
Yeah. It's okay. but anyway, the Nothing Else Matters song that she covered is fantastic. Even if you're not a big fan of Metallica, would you listen to a Miley Cyrus Metallica cover album?
I love covers. I would absolutely listen to a Miley Cyrus covers album. Matter of fact, Mace, there is a station on Sirius called The Covers Channel. Where all you do is listen to people cover other people's songs. I have in my iTunes library an entire playlist of nothing but covers, and it's one of my favorite playlists. I love hearing how different.
What song do you own that has the most covers?
My favorite one is the first one on this playlist. It's Bruce Springsteen when he was playing in concert in Australia, doing "Staying Alive" by the Bee Gees. He was 10 minutes from where the Bee Gees grew up. So he did.
Wow.
He did "Staying Alive" as a rock song, as a tribute to those guys, and he killed it. I got Alicia Keys' Wild Horses, Talking Heads' Take Me to the River. I got...
But is there one song that got covered more than any one?
One song that got covered
Like,
more-
for example, I've got what's called the Hallelujah playlist, where I've got 12 different artists doing Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah.
I have that on this playlist by Jeff Buckley. That's my favorite version of that.
Yeah,
song.
He's a great. It's Buckley. A great version. It's a great version.
All right,
yeah.
So there's a, if you want to hear like how a song can sound completely different, there's a Bob Marley song called "Waiting in Vain."
Yeah,
that is a really really good song. But when Marley did it, it didn't really hit. Then Annie Lennox covered it and just nailed it. And so her version of Waiting in Vain is the best Waiting in Vain version. Jimmy Buffett also did it and turned it into a hit. But I'm fascinated to hear different people do different versions of the same song.
Yeah, I am, you know, too. I am, too.
You know that, speaking of Dolly Parton, she originally did I Will Always Love You, and it never really took off in the country world. But when Whitney Houston covered it for the Bodyguard soundtrack, that's probably like one of the top songs, if not the top song of all time.
Dolly Parton, there's a famous quote. She says she wanted to thank Whitney Houston because she was able to put all of her relatives through college based on the success of Whitney Houston's version of I Will Always Love You.
And you never awesome. Know what's going to happen with the cover. For example, somebody found recently, I assume it was Clive Davis, but somebody found Steve Winwood's Higher Love, which was a huge hit in the 80s.
Yeah.
Whitney redid it, and they released it earlier this year in 2020, and it went all the way to number one.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Which is just Whitney Houston doing an upbeat version of Steve Winwood's Higher Love, and it turned into a gigantic hit. So I love covers. I think I check them out all the time.
All right, last one really, really quick here. In 2013, I don't know if you guys remember, Donovan McNabb famously said that drivers are not athletes because they just sit in the car and drive, speaking of NASCAR drivers. And recently, the Endless Hustle podcast spoke with 5-time IndyCar champ Scott Dixon, who pointed out how much the sport has evolved over time, making the argument that NASCAR drivers are 1,000% athletes. Do you agree that NASCAR drivers in 2020 are athletes? Swipe left or swipe right?
Oh, I'd swipe right. I think any sport, Mace, where you break out into a full sweat, you have to consider it a sport. You have to consider that person an athlete. If you're not sweating at all, and it's just, to me, then it's just it's a board game. But those NASCAR drivers lose like 5 pounds a race. That's absolutely a sport.
So, John, in my dramatic fourth place finish in the Long Beach Toyota Grand Prix a couple of years ago.
The only reason you finished fourth is that there were 12 cars and 8 of them wrecked.
Yes. It's completely true. But I'm claiming my 14th.
Classic.
Sorry, Willie Gault. Sorry, Omar Epps.
Yeah.
I win. So, I can tell you that from driving that, and I did all the training and all the practices and
right.
all the test
so
drives
you know
and
it's
all that
a sport.
Stuff. It is unbelievable how much of a sport it is. You want to talk about sweating? The pressure, the demands, the hairpin turns. I mean, all that stuff. I mean, really, really tough. No, race car drivers are absolutely athletes. I got a taste of it. I can tell you firsthand. Sorry, Willie Gault and Omar Epps.
Did you finish ahead of Alfonso Ribeiro? Did he crash? Or
Screw
did he...
Alfonso Ribeiro.
Did he win
and
it?
In his Chris Paul commercials. He won.
Yeah, he's like super competitive in that world.
He beat me by 2 laps.
The one time I was in a race like that, I lost to Patrick Dempsey, the guy from Grey's Anatomy. He's like really into that world, too.
Is he? Yeah.
That's
yeah,
a good no, person it's... to lose to.
Yeah, he was super into it. Very competitive. Did not want Hey, Mace, he put me in the wall twice.
Oh, did he really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I just scraped.
Alfonso Ribeiro would have put me in the wall if he had a chance.
Didn't my guy Mark McGrath race against you that year?
Mark McGrath raced, yeah.
Did he finish or did he wreck?
No, he finished. The only two people that wrecked were Willie Gault and Omar Epps. I keep repeatedly saying their name because they're the people I beat in that race.
Oh, so you didn't finish fourth. You finished 12th.
I finished 12th, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and you lost to Carlton.
Well, Carlton wins a lot in that world. He's a big racer.
Screw Carlton. He was so hard to deal with. I'm just not a fan. He was so hard to deal with.
Didn't he come on the show and was kind of a good sport about it?
I don't think so, John. I mean, you would know better than I, since I don't remember what guests we have on the show.
I think he did come on the show, and you gave him a hard time, and he was a good sport about it. Like
Now, that is a real grudge that I have. That's not a fake feud. That's a real feud. And by the way, he went on Mark and Brian's show back when it was on, and he trashed me on their show.
Well, you did. You did, slow down for even cones. So I think that you were definitely the most cautious. Like, didn't that supermodel beat you?
Yeah, Donna Feldman, my favorite supermodel.
Yeah,
she did win.
Yeah,
she finished one place in front of me. She was a hell of a driver.
Yeah, you were like, you thought the whole race was under a caution.
No, you know what the truth is? I had no idea that the race was, I should have known. I figured the transmission would be automatic. Instead, it was stick.
Oh, always.
And so I had to learn to drive stick and then learn to be a race car driver all at once. I had a hell of a time.
But,
I dropped the transmission during training.
Yeah, you're not the only one. Trust me. By the way, have you ever met a nicer, famous guy than Mark McGrath? Can you believe?
No.
Like, what? Such a good guy.
Yeah, totally cool guy.
Yeah, he's it's like when you first meet him, you're like, is this guy seriously this nice? And then you realize 20 minutes later, yeah, he is. That's just his. He's got this great, great, positive personality that just vibrates through the whole room. Like, one of the best dudes you'll ever meet.
Yeah, really good dude. By the way, the other really good guy that was in that race was Josh Morrow. Totally cool
young
guy.
Young and the Restless. From, used to play
Young and the Restless,
Celebrity softball with Josh, yeah.
Exactly. All right, coming up next for you, we will circle back to the World Series. Game 2 is coming up tonight. It is Catman Tony Gonsolin on the mound for the Dodgers to at least start in a bullpen game, and it is Blake Snell, former Cy Young Award winner for the Rays. And game time is 5 o'clock. You'll hear it right here at 710 ESPN, and we will dive into it coming up next for you. I was there last night, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.